From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with some music courtesy of The David Rose Show. David Rose, a famous orchestra leader and composer, will probably best be remembered for his smash instrumental pop hit, The Stripper. Anyone who hasn't heard that tune, just do a Google or YouTube search, and I'm sure you'll find it and recognize it immediately. He also had another minor hit with Holiday for Strings, and actually that is the melody which opens and closes this music program. From September 3rd of 1950 on CBS, the show opens with David Rose's composition, Manhattan Square Dance.
The David Rose Show, brought to you by Tide, T-I-D-E, Tide, Procter & Gamble's Wash Day Miracle.
Tide is dirt out, T-I-D-E, Tide.
The David Rose Show. You'll hear our singing star, Arthur Lee Simpkin, special guests, Red Skelton's Clem Cadiddlehopper, Perry Botkin, John Holbrook, yours truly, Ford Pearson, and the orchestra, all under the personal direction of the famous composer and king of strings, David Rose. America's proud of her music and musicians, so grab your partners as we start our show with something as American as apple pie. David Rose's arrangement of his own Manhattan Square Dance. We'll be right back.
You know, this idea of dazzling clean clothes without rinsing is so amazing you may think it too good to be true. But lady, you'll know it is true when you try it with Tide. For there's no other product made like Procter & Gamble's Tide. Tide does a better washing job than any soap on earth. Gives you miracle clean clothes without rinsing. With Tide, you can just wash, wring out, hang up. That's all. No rinsing whatever. But clean clothes? Yes. Tide leaves clothes dazzling white, sparkling bright. With Tide, your clothes dry soft and fluffy. They iron smoothly and easily. And I repeat, they're clean. In other words, by using Tide without rinsing, you get the wash day results you want with about half the wash day work you used to. You save time and hot water, too, not to mention wear and tear on clothes. Now, here's what makes no rinsing possible. Tide first gets the dirt out of your clothes. Then it keeps that dirt suspended in the wash water. Wring out the water, you've wrung out the dirt, too. It's that simple. So you try Tide. Remember, whether you wash with or without rinsing, Tide does a better washing job than any soap on earth. Get a package and make it the new giant economy size for more convenience, more economy, fewer shopping trips. Start using Tide today.
Tide is dirt out, T-I-D-E, Tide.
Seldom on radio does a voice so refreshingly new as that of Arthur Lee Simpkins come along. This evening, this fine young singer, who has thrilled audiences across the nation, demonstrates his versatility by singing with David Rose's orchestra his interpretation of the beautiful and ever-popular Marie.
Marie, the dawn is breaking. And tears will fall, and you'll recall the moon in all its splendor, your kiss so very tender, the words will you surrender to me, my Marie. Marie, the dawn is breaking. Marie, you'll soon be working to find your heart is breaking, and tears will fall, and you'll recall the moon in all its splendor, your kiss so very tender, the words will you surrender.
Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered is a current hit. But did you know it was introduced back in 1940 in a Broadway show, Pal Joey, by none other than Gene Kelly? And one reason why it's still so lovely to listen to is this beguiling, becoming, and bedazzling arrangement by David Rose.
Crosby's favorite string man, Perry Botkin, once was content to be known merely as the country's finest guitar player. Now he's taken up the ukulele, and those who've heard him strum it say he's easily the Heifetz of the Hawaiian harp. And here he is with David Rose in the orchestra, giving us a preview of his Decca ukulele disc of Lover, Perry Botkin. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there's a current joke that goes, what has 9 heads and 18 legs and is found in the cellar? And the answer is the Pittsburgh Pirates. But what transcribed, of course, has 2 big feet and at least 2 heads? Why, nobody else but David Rose's friend, Red Skelton's Clem Cadiddlehopper.
Richard, here I am, boy. Do 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 do. I know you're dying to hear more, but I just can't make it. I just blew a tonsil.
Well, Clem, this is Studio 4, but Skelton won't be back until October.
Well, I'm not looking for Skelton. I'm looking for Dave Rose.
What for? What for?
Well, I want him to play a song. I wanted Dave Rose to play a song.
Did you write it?
Yes, words and music both. Mm-hmm. The music was easier because he don't have to spell the notes. It's a very beautiful thing. It's called Holiday for Morons. First time you hear it, you won't think much of it, but then after 3 or 4 times, it becomes very nauseating. It goes, my pivot tooth just give a pizzicato there. Now, what do you think of it?
Well, it sounds vaguely familiar. Is it supposed to be a love song?
No, no, no. This is a hate song.
Oh, a hate song.
You see, you sing it to somebody that you hate. You're always writing songs about people in love, you know, like Love and Bloom. Oh, Love That Man. But this is a hate song, see?
Yeah.
It's called, What Is This Thing Called Hate? And I have some more I'm going to write. I'm in the mood for hate.
Uh-huh.
And my silent hate. And I hate for sentimental reasons.
Clem,
and then there's the taxes, too.
What's that?
Hmm?
Oh, taxes, too, huh?
Yes.
Clem, you're an imbecile.
Oh, he sold my ad in the paper. Well, I'll tell you, I got a lot on the ball. Right now, it's my hat.
Say, about this song of yours, did you bring the sheet music?
Oh, I didn't write it on a sheet. I wrote it on the pillow sled. That's too fast for him. He didn't get it. Didn't care much for it myself. Well, look, I'm kind of a busy man, you see. I left my place in the unemployment compensation line to get over here, and I'm in no mood to dilly-dally. Although that has been my chosen profession, you see. Oh, yes, sir, when it comes to dallying, I'm really a dilly.
Clem, have you written this song for any particular instrument?
Well, it sounds awful good on the lip zither.
Oh?
That's a tissue paper and comb. Do you... You're not up in your music, you know.
Well, you know, Dave is a very busy man. I don't know if he can see you.
Well, that's me. Nobody can ever see me.
Here's Dave now. Let's see what he thinks of your song. Hey, Dave, come here.
Yes, Rod?
Well, my name's Cadiddle Hopper. Clem Cadiddle Hopper. Of course, my cadiddle hopping days are just about over.
Cover your face when you do that.
Hmm?
I say cover your face when you do that. You'll spread germs.
Oh, that was just my name. What do you think of it?
Oh, hot lemonade is good. Gargle with aspirin every hour.
No, no, no. You've got no right to say I think just because... Now, this is really a good one. Get a load of this one, will you? You have no right to say I stink just because when it comes to comparison, I am no rose. Well, that ain't what it says, but it'll have to do. Well, stay with it. It might come to all of us.
Frankly, I don't think you have a career as a songwriter.
Oh?
Why don't you look for some other job?
Well, I do have a job promised in the orange grove, you see. I set up the tree next to the other trees, and if the oranges are the color of my face, they're ripe. But I'm trying to get into the big money, you see. If I had $50,000, I'd retire for the rest of my life.
But you don't have $50,000.
Well, I'm having a go at it anyway.
You don't want to spend your life in idleness, do you?
Well, I know work builds character, and character gets responsibility. Responsibility brings on more work, so why start another vicious circle, you know? Well, Mr. Rose, are you going to play my song?
Well, I'd like to, but the music has already been picked.
Oh? I see. Where are we at now? Well, if that's the way you're going to feel about it, I'll just have to sing my own song to myself.
What are you doing?
Well, I always have to give myself a quarter to listen. Believe me, I am pretty bad.
Ladies, dishwashing will never be the same. For Procter & Gamble's Tide has taken dishwashing and completely transformed it, made it easier, quicker, pleasanter. Now, you take the dishwashing problem of grease. Tide cuts grease like magic. Roasting pans, frying pans, salad bowls, everything. Then, and here's the amazing part, Tide seems to make that grease disappear completely. The dishwater feels clean, fresh, pleasant. You get no dishpan rings. Honestly, you've never seen anything like it. And you know, unlike soap, Tide leaves no dulling film on dishes and glasses. That means they rinse and dry sparkling clear every time, even without wiping. So take my advice. Get yourself a package of Tide and try it in your dishpan. You'll get oceans of suds, kind of hand suds that last and last and last, even in hardest water. And you'll get dishes that are clean. Yes, cleaner than any soap will get them. Best of all, you'll get them in a quicker, easier, pleasanter way. See if I'm not right. Get Tide and try it in your dishpan today.
Tide gets dishes cleaner than any soap.
Any soap?
Yes, any soap. Tide gets dishes cleaner than any soap. T-I-D-E, Tide.
MGM's Three Little Birds, which stars Red Skelton and Fred Astaire, is based upon the life story of the great songwriting team Kalmar and Ruby. It is, of course, only natural that the picture abounds with fine music.
David Rose and the orchestra with Arthur Lee Simpkins now bring us some of the outstanding songs by Kalmar and Ruby.
Wonderful praise to hear those three little words. That's all I'd live for the rest of my days. And what I feel in my heart, it tells sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters, which simply mean I love you. Sorry now, oh, sorry now, whose heart is aching for breaking each vow? Oh, sad and blue, who's crying too, just like I cried over you. Like a friend, right to the end, I tried to warn you somehow. You had your way, now you must
us again next Sunday for another great David Rose Show with Arthur Lee Simpkins, Red Skelton's Cauliflower McPug, John Holbrook, yours truly, Fort Pearson, and the orchestra, all under the direction of the King of Strings, David Rose. and brought to you by Tide, Procter & Gamble's amazing new discovery for the whole family wash. Try Tide yourself, and you too will agree you've never used anything like Tide. A portion of this program was transcribed and Red Skelton was heard through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The David Rose Show is produced by Jack Simpson, directed by Keith MacLeod, and has come to you from Hollywood. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The David Rose Show, from September 3rd, 1950. On CBS. You're listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com and the blog and website qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. You're listening to show number 1705. We'll wrap up the hour with a bit of humor from across the pond as we have an episode of the Kenneth Williams Playhouse. This was a sketch comedy series which aired on BBC in the mid-70s and early 80s. It starred comedian Kenneth Williams, who was a longtime panelist on the comedy quiz program Just a Minute. This show is in much the same vein as Monty Python or I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. This episode is from July 22nd of 1975, and I will caution listeners that some of the humor presented here is a bit more mature in nature, so listener discretion may be advised. The episode is entitled, Get On With It.
We present Kenneth Williams Playhouse, a series of programs which have one thing in common. Their star is Kenneth Williams. This week's Playhouse presentation also stars Lance Percival and Miriam Margolyes in Get On With It.
Hello, Miriam. Hello, Lance.
Hello, Ken.
You know today is going to be a good day.
How do you know?
Well, this morning I felt it. Ooh. I felt it. Yes, all sorts of omens. I'm a great one for omens.
Yeah, but
for a start, listen, I had a great food for breakfast and I managed to cut out alternate segments all the way round.
That's supposed to be lucky.
Yes, and when I got to the station, the train stopped with a carriage door right in front of me.
Well, that's always a good sign.
Yes, then I got here without treading on a single line on the pavement.
I nearly managed that, except I suddenly found I couldn't get to the next square.
Oh, why not?
It was on the other side of the road.
A friend of mine found that and tried to jump over, but he walked under a ladder.
Oh, that's unlucky.
I should say, it was on the back of a fire engine. But the fire engine was able to stop because, by chance, a bus pulled up suddenly in front of it.
Well, that was lucky.
No, unlucky. It was a number 13 bus. But it had stopped. It had stopped to let a black cat cross its path.
Oh, that's lucky. A black cat.
Ah, but it was chasing a magpie.
A magpie? No,
magpie.
No, let me see.
Yes.
One for sorrow, two for joy. Mm-hmm. So one magpie was unlucky.
No, there was another magpie.
Oh, cheat.
Yes, but it flew into a traffic mirror by a level crossing. It broke the mirror, it did.
Oh, that's unlucky. That's 7 years bad luck.
What's more, a train was coming, and because of the broken mirror, the fire engine driver didn't see it coming and was going over the crossing, and with my friend still clinging on underneath.
Oh, how unlucky.
But the fire engine got across.
That's lucky.
But my friend lost his grip and fell on the line.
Yes, yes. Yes,
and the train tried to stop.
That's lucky.
But failed.
Oh, no.
Yes, several carriages went over him before it managed to stop.
Oh, how unlucky.
No, it was lucky. Yes, because when it did stop, he was bang opposite a carriage door. I used that for a day, wasn't he?
And now over to the Old Bailey and the court, presided over by Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Call Ralph Blenkinsop!
Are you Ralph Blenkinsop?
Yes, my lad.
And did you last Saturday afternoon round the full length of the crowded high street.
Yes, my lad.
And were you completely naked, apart from the saucepan?
Yes, my lad.
Have you ever done this sort of thing before?
No, never, my lad.
Case dismissed. Obviously just a flash in the pan.
Now for our regular phone-in forum. If you've got a problem, why don't you call us up? And the first caller is now on the line.
I'll be sure. I'm worried about inflation. I can't make me money go as far as it used to.
And what do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a forger.
An Irish...
forger.
An Irish forger, yes. And what currency do you forge?
I melt down penny pieces and make twopenny pieces. And sometimes I melt down 10 penny pieces and make 50 penny pieces.
Well, there can't be much profit in that.
I was thinking that myself, so I've started melting down pound notes.
And good luck to you. So next caller, please.
Hello? Hello? This is an obscene phone call.
Hello, hello, heavy breather.
Hello?
You've got the wrong number. Yet the number you want is 6475. Thank you. Now I think we've got a housewife on the line. A housewife?
Yes, hello.
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 And how are you spending this merry morning?
Oh, I like to have a cup of tea and a chap.
A chap?
No, I was joking.
Oh, I see.
Now, I think it's disgusting the way some housewives carry on. I mean, with a milkman and that. It stops them getting on with the housework.
Well, is your milkman like that?
Oh, no. He always helps me make the bed afterwards. By the way, did you transfer an obscene phone call just now?
Yes, I'm sorry. Have you rung to complain?
No, I rang to say thank you.
Well, thank you, and please don't call me at work again, dear. Who's next on the line?
Howdy.
Hello.
I want to say something about the way us outlaws and bad guys is shown in films about the old Wild West.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the way we shown you get to thinking we never shave, we're always spitting and chewing tobacco, wiping our noses on our sleeves. Well, I reckon you ain't got the whole picture.
In what way?
Well, we don't smell too good either.
Thank you very much. Thank you, John Wayne. Well, perhaps... perhaps some other people think they get a raw deal in films. Who's the next caller, please?
Hello. I am protesting to Honourable BBC for showing Chinese as inscrutable Fu Manchus, always banging gongs and speaking in proverbs and making up littles for Christmas crackers. Hello?
Making up littles?
Littles for Christmas crackers.
Oh, sorry about this.
We laughing stock. Remember, he who laughs last, laugh longest. And by the way, what is the difference between a flawed squad and a hysterical woman?
I don't know. What is the difference between the fraud squad and an hysterical woman?
One gets twisters in the neck and the other one gets her knickers.
Thank you. Thank you. And the next caller, please.
Is that Mr. Percival?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting. I always listen to your programme.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
Oh, yes, I do always. Whenever I'm tired and worn out, or irritable, or miserable even, I know I can always turn to you and the radio.
And you just switch me on?
No, I'll switch you off.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to warm the cockles and the muscles of your hearts with an old sea shanty about a mermaid. In Grimsby Bay, I met a maid. She was a mermaid. I was in the fishing trade, and she was quite a dish. Her face was sweet, her hair was straight, her bottom such as I would hate to see carved up at Billingsgate as hunks of fish. A wooing, a mermaid beat my rhubarb. She was worth the stewing, was my mermaid. will you marry me? She said, you're joking. Still, who cares when you're at sea? So on the rocks we played. I held her tight and kissed a lot. I found she wasn't half red hot. The other side, of course, was not with my mermaid. A wooing, a wooing, and so much feeling too. Takes a lot of doing with my mermaid. If we had children soon, my sweet, what would they look like? With fishies' heads and human feet, then they'd be caught, I fear. They may not swim so fast or well, and may get caught, but I can tell that once on land, they'd run like hell and swim back here. A wooing, a mermaid be my ruin. I feel the troubles brewing with my mermaid. How did you escape our net and our harpoon and gun? But sailors catch what they can get, and they had you in mind. You know how nice your bait can be, and there's no sailor on the sea whose tackle is a threat to me, as you will find. A wooing, I know what I am doing, and it's better than ship's crewing with my bear. Very soon we reach the stage. Where do we go from here? Waterbeds are still the rage. And she said, I dare say, but marry some girl from the docks. With me you'll get some nasty shocks. A marriage starting on the rocks will end that way. A wooing, a wooing, a mermaid be my ruin. So I picked her up and threw in my sweet mermaid.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes?
This is the passport office, is it?
Yes, may I be of assistance?
Oh, yes, I can't get a passport.
You mean you've come to apply for a passport?
Yeah, apply.
I presume you have all the relevant documents duly completed in your possession?
Oh, yes, here's my form and all my things.
A bit grubby, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it got left in my pants when the wife washed them.
Yes, well, I suppose it could be copied. Yes, let's just see what mistakes you've made here. You people usually do make mistakes. Yes. What's this? Visible peculiarities? None?
No. No.
Well, what about that nose?
What about my nose?
You know, dear, that'll never do. No, no, no. I better alter that to, exceptionally large proboscis.
Yeah. Hang on. What's that mean?
Well, it's a sort of snout or trunk.
You mean like an elephant?
Well, you could say that, yeah. Well, now then, these ears of yours, I think they warrant a mention. Let's see now, big floppy ears should cover them, I think.
No, stop
it. Yeah, skin and general appearance should be noted.
What do you mean? What's wrong with my skin?
Well, it's not so much your skin that's at fault. It just doesn't seem to be... There seems to be too much of it, that's all, really. Combine that with your general appearance and you'll see what I mean. Now, general appearance. Yes, somewhat elephantine, I would say.
Elephantine? Hang on. From that description, I'll only need two tusks and I'll be a flipping elephant.
Oh, you mean you're not?
Of course I'm not. Any idiot can see that.
Oh, wait a minute. I better put my glasses on.
Yeah, you better put your glasses on.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right. You don't look a bit like an elephant now, do you?
No.
I feel such a fool.
Yes. I think so.
Well, I better amend this form then, hadn't
yes.
I? Yes. Yes. Now, how do you spell rhinoceros?
The Unlikely Cases of Sherlock Holmes, number 74, The Italian Restaurant.
Excellent places, these Italian restaurants, Holmes. I mean, like a stomach full of Italian food.
Alimentary, my dear Watson. This one is particularly noted for its wines. Waitress? Could you pour me a little taste from that bottle of Valpolicella?
Ah, si, si, signore. A very good. A little to taste.
A new wine. 1974, in fact. Dry. From a hillside near Verona, I think probably the vineyard of Vicenza.
Oh, very astute of you, Holmes.
I recommend this wine. It is from my own village.
Bottom left-hand corner of the vineyard.
How do you know that, Holmes?
The grapes were harvested from the perimeters of the vineyard, where they're sheltered from the sun half of the day by the hillside of the other valley.
Great heavens, you astound me, sir.
And trodden in the vat by someone with very small feet. The grapes were obviously longer in the treading process. That's always usual, then. It takes someone with small feet longer, you see. Mm. Mm. Oh, heavens above, Watson. I think we're on to a murder.
What, Holmes?
I can detect a trace of blood. Blood group O.
A stabbing,
I would say.
How can you possibly know that, Holmes?
I can taste particles of metal from the knife. And there are traces of perspiration. Which means the victim was stabbed from in front.
Magnificent, Holmes, but why?
Elementary, my dear Watson. The blood flowed down the front of the body to the toes, where all perspiration of the foot resides, not on the heel.
May I pour the wine now, signor?
No, wait, you impertinent chit. Now, if he was stabbed from in front, the killer must have been someone he knew. He saw him coming and let him approach. Now, who would he allow to climb in the vat with him?
A friend or a relative?
Or a wife or a lover, Watson? Mm. These vineyards are run by families. Mm. Mm. Wait, though. There's a trace of another blood group. Mm. O-A negative, if I'm not mistaken. That of a distant cousin, perhaps, who must have inflicted a wound on himself or herself.
You are a genius, Holmes.
Mm, probably when she tried to withdraw the knife. Now, the body must have fallen into the vat, so the killer must have cut her hand trying to retrieve the knife from the depths of the vat before making her escape, probably self-imposed exile to another country.
Oh, it's remarkable, Holmes.
Shall I pour the wine now, signor?
Our criminal is therefore an Italian from Vicenza, sunburnt on one side of the face due to living in a half-sheltered valley, probably... probably working in a restaurant somewhere with a scar on her head and very small feet, an inherited family feature, with a tendency to fall over.
Holmes, the waitress has fallen over, revealing the other side of her face and a scar on her hand. And she's cut herself.
Just as I thought. Mm. Blood group OA negative.
Ah, oh, si, si, signor. Is it true, davvero? Is it true? Poor Papa Roberto! I kill him! Please, no tell, no tell. I will do anything for you. Anything, anything I will do. Tell me, tell me, tell me. What must I do?
Before the wine, dear, we're gasping.
And now back to the Old Bailey and Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
Call Tiny Shrimpton!
Call Tiny Shrimpton!
Call Tiny Shrimpton!
Are you Tiny Shrimpton?
Yes, my lad.
Of no fixed abode?
Yes, my lad.
And are you a circus midget with Scruffy Bill's circus?
Yes, my lad.
And did you on September 28th attempt to assault the giant lady?
Well, yes, my lad.
Have you anything to say in your defense?
Well, yes, I have, my lad. You see, it was my mates what put me up to it.
And now a beauty hint from our beauty expert, Miss Miriam Margulies.
Yes.
And what are you going to tell us about today, Miriam?
How to get rid of your crow's feet.
And how do you do that?
Bash it on the toes with a claw hammer, of course. Doctor, shall I bring the next patient in?
No, yes, yes,
right,
yes,
well, this yes. way, please, sir.
Come in. There, then. What can we do for you?
Well, I got the blues so bad, I just can't sleep at
night. I beg your pardon?
I said, I got the blues so bad, I just can't sleep at night.
Yes, the blues, yes. There's a lot of it about, isn't there? Yes. How long have you had this trouble?
Ever since I lost my baby, I can't tell wrong from right.
You lost a baby. Oh, the baby, your baby. Oh, you lost your baby. Ah, yes, I see. Right, well, I think we'll just take a few details, don't you? Try to find out what's the cause. Could I have your name?
Well, they call me Howling Jake. I got the Mississippi in my veins.
Mississippi is not a common blood group. Let's see what we can do. And the address, please, Mr. Jake.
I was born in poverty. I've known misery, death, and pain.
Aspirins. Aspirins. Very good for that. We can always slip you a bottle of those. Yes, and how are the waterworks?
Well, I just broke out of jail. Now I'm on the run again.
Oh. Right. Yes, it's a familiar pattern, isn't it? Yes. Now, I wonder if you would just open your mouth for me. Say ah, please. Could you do that? Say ah. Fine. And again, please. Is that once more, please? Yes, well, there's not much wrong with the old heartbeat, is there? No, look, could you just lie down here on the couch? That's fine. Now, you'd better take your guitar off. That's right. Now, just hold still. I can assure you this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. There, that should do it. Now, Mr. Dunican, shall we try it once again?
Well, hello there. I'd like to sing a song from Paddy O'Donnelly and Daily Lady's Donkey. Welcome, Carl. And thank you very much.
Once again, over to the Old Bailey and Mr. Justice Fizzwacket.
You see that girl over there, Usher? I say, ask her if she's not doing anything tonight, whether she'd like to come out to a restaurant.
Yes, my lad. Tell that girl the judge would like to take her out to a restaurant if she's not doing anything. What? Pass it on.
Oh, yes. Tell the girl the judge is going to take her to my restaurant for dinner if she's not doing anything. Pass it on.
Yes, all right. Well, tell the girl, all right, that the judge would like to have her for dinner if she's got nothing on.
Excuse me, miss. The judge says he could eat you for dinner and wants to have you.
What?
Only if you haven't got anything on.
Oh, you can tell the judge that I've never heard such a suggestion.
Yes, miss. Tell the judge she's got indigestion. Pass it on.
Is she ill?
Oh, yes. You can tell the judge. Pass it on.
She's ill. You can tell it's something the judge has passed on.
Pardon?
The judge has passed on.
What? The judge has passed on. Good. I must pass it on to the usher. Usher. I'm told the judge has passed on.
Well, it looks all right to me.
Have you passed it on?
I've passed it.
What are you muttering about? Usher, will that girl come out and have dinner with me tonight?
No, my lad. Well, she thinks you'll pass it.
Now it's time for our midnight horror story, the gripping tale of the American city terrorized by the giant spider. Let us turn the pages of the casebook of investigator extraordinary Gritstone. The story starts in a small municipality on the edge of the Arizona desert, in the house of a distraught scientist. To his rescue comes Gritstone.
Good evening.
Ah, you've come just in time. I was just going out. You must be Gritstone.
Investigator extraordinary.
Yes, I see what you mean.
And this is Miss Cherry, my aide.
Hi, Doc.
But Gritstone, she's a woman.
Yeah, I told you that chest wig wouldn't fool anybody.
But this is no place for a woman. Anyway, come in, the pair of you. And you too, Gritstone, yes. Something terrible has happened. It almost happened. You see, for years, I've been working on a growth booster drug to find the secret of growth acceleration in animals. Their acceleration, you understand. Last night, I injected a spider with the drug, and this morning, I came down to my laboratory, and it was gone!
And you want us to find your laboratory?
No! The spider! There's no telling what size it could be by now. You see, it has knocked down an entire outside wall there. What shall I do?
Who could build on a sand lounge?
Look, Brent! Look! Out there in the desert!
Good heavens, a spider.
It must be all of 100 feet high.
Oh, I haven't seen an insect that big since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Ooh,
look, it's heading towards the city.
Oh, don't it know it's early closing? Call it back, Doc, call it back. What's his name?
No, I have no control over it.
There's only one thing to do. Give me a double dose of the growth booster drug.
Now, what good will that do?
Well, then I can go out and tread on it.
No, I can't let you do that, Doctor. You see, I love him.
Well, I can see your problem, Miss Cherry, but don't worry, I can get him back to normal afterwards.
You can?
Now, this won't hurt a bit, Gridstone. Yeah, won't hurt a bit, it'll hurt a lot. Never mind. Now you should start growing. There. I've seen grown men weep after injections, but I've never seen a weeping man grow. 8 feet, 9 feet, 10 feet behind the ceiling, Gridstone! Oh, I should have taken him outside the house first.
What's happening, Doc? And what's that marble pillar? It wasn't there just now.
That's Gridstone's leg, Miss Cherry.
And what's that?
His other leg.
And what's that?
Well, that's his... Hey, wait a minute. How many legs has your friend got here? 2, 4, 6, 8? And they're mighty hairy.
Ah! Doc, you've turned him into a spider.
Oh, butterfingers.
Look, he's going out after the other one. Give me the antidote syringe. I'm going after him.
No, hey, come back, Miss Cherry. Come back and tear your apart. Come back.
Well, you've sure done it this time, Doc.
You've started a proper panic.
Listen to that. That's just the police force.
All right, men, get your guns loaded and fire away.
No, you can't do that, sir.
Hold it.
You might hit the girl.
What's she doing out there?
She's in love with one of the spiders.
Well, it takes all sorts, I suppose.
Injection to reduce the size.
What about the girl?
Well, she's okay for size.
Well, here it comes. Good luck, Doc. Good luck.
Oh, you're just in time, Doc.
Gridstone!
Yeah, that was a close shave. I nearly had Miss Cherry on top of me.
Hello, everybody.
Miss Cherry, what have you done with the spider?
I injected it with the antidote. He's back to normal.
A little spider?
No, silly. Look, here he is.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, 2 Gridstones? Yeah. Oh, no, that's worse than big spiders.
All right. Squad, number off from the left. Now.
1, 2, 3.
Four. All right, you horrible lot. Let's have it again, properly this time. Properly. Number off from the left. Now.
1, 2, 3.
4. All right, you. Are you 1?
Yes, you 1, 2.
This week's Kenneth Williams Playhouse presentation was Get On With It by Peter Spence, with additional material by Arnold Brown, Jeremy Brown, Howard Ember, Les Lilly, Patrick Murray and Brendan Martin, Phil Redmond and David Renwick. The music was by the Nick Rowley Trio. The show, of course, starred Kenneth Williams, Lance Percival and Miriam Margolyes, and was produced by Simon Brett.
The Kenneth Williams Playhouse. Get On With It, episode number 4 in this long-running BBC comedy series, from July 22nd, 1975. That does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.